Happy to bring in our friend Will Graves of the Associated Press. Covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Will, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all?
Right.
We're excellent, man. Let's start here. Can a wide receiver win the MVP in the NFL?
It's, you know what, I was having this discussion today. It's hard just because the guy who throws in the ball so much, you know, gets the credit. Mm-hmm. Even Ben Roethlisberger the other day, when asked, could Antonio Brown win the MVP, he said, well, he's got a pretty good case. I'm the guy that's throwing to him all year. So I think I got a pretty good, you know, I got a pretty good idea of what he's doing. So, yeah, it's hard. It's, you know, it's funny. I had a friend of mine who's in town this week for the Boston Globe, and we were talking about this today, and he's like, Mark, you know, a kicker won the MVP, and then, you know, Mark Mosley in 1982. I grew up in the D.C. suburbs. I mean, that was the first year I got into football. I was 8 years old, and, you know, I thought it was normal. You know, I guess 35 years later, it looks like a freak show. But, look, Antonio Brown, and I will say what makes this different than some of the other cases with the Randy Mosses and the Jerry Rices and their great seasons is Ben Roethlisberger has not, until the last month, had a great year. I mean, Antonio Brown, for the better part of the first 7-8 weeks, was the offense. He really, really was. I mean, look at the game, the season-turning moment for this team was in Kansas City. They're coming off a loss against the Jags. Ben throws 5 picks, goes, oh, I wonder if I still have it, right? Which he did not mean, by the way. He was just being a little bit of a pity party.
Yeah.
You know, it's tight late. They're up 3. It's 3rd and whatever at midfield. Throws it down the sidelines. It hits the defensive back in his hands, pops up in the air. Antonio takes it with one hand, spins around, and runs down the sideline for a touchdown. They haven't lost since. And you could point to a half dozen moments like that. Being at the end of the Green Bay game where he somehow keeps his right foot, you know, right on the boundary and drags the other one to set up the game-winning field goal. I mean, even Week 1 against Cleveland where he goes up in the air on their – nursing a 3-point lead in the last 4 minutes, 3rd and 5, then he's it. AB jumps between 3 guys. Like, I'm a skeptical guy, okay? I hate it when people say, this is the greatest. I mean, I was going on people, they were goat emojiing AB after the Packer game. I can say this, we're doing this long enough. I mean, he is definitely worthy. He is definitely the best receiver in the NFL right now. I'm not going to put him up there with Jerry Rice, and I'm not, I mean, come on. I mean, I think we can have that discussion if they get another great quarterback behind Roethlisberger and he can continue this for another 5 to 7 years. We can maybe have that discussion. But right now, you know, I think it's possible. Wentz is out of the mix. You know, I would imagine, I mean, missing the last 3.5 games of the season is going to hurt his candidacy. He probably would have won it. Brady's having a good year, but not always great, and it's weird. I think this Sunday literally could do it if Brady has a tough game and Brown scores 2 touchdowns and has one of those moments when there's going to be 50 million people watching. I mean, I think it's possible, which is a really long answer to your question.
That's great. Those are the answers we like.
Absolutely. Will, I was curious when you kind of went on the backdrop of what you said about Ben not having a great start to the season, really the last month. But if we look at Ben, we just talked about Brown's value, and then Le'Veon Bell. I mean, who of those three is most critical, kind of what they need to have success each week of those three guys? Who's the most important?
You know, it's interesting because it sort of seems to differ on the opponent and the game plan. Like, I've been a pretty harsh critic of Roethlisberger this year. You know, I've been pretty candid. I do some TV in Pittsburgh, and he was not great. And he looked like a guy who was pretty close. And then he started whining, you know, I wish we'd run some more no huddle. Well, he got his wish, and he's been lights out. You know, I think when he plays at his best, he gives them their best chance to win. But, you know, I say that, and we look at what happened last year when they ripped off 9 straight to get the AFC Championship game. They took the ball out of his hand, and they gave it to Bell. And Bell carried them. I mean, you know, the playoff game in Kansas City, he has, 195 yards. I mean, the week before that against Miami, he goes off. He had a game against the Bills late in the year where they clinched the playoff spot where he had 230 and a touchdown. You know, I mean, it sort of depends on who you're playing. I mean, what makes this meeting with the Patriots to me different than all the other ones since Le'Veon got here in 2013 is that, I mean, there is like zero, this team has 0 excuses offensively right now. There is, you know, they got boat raced in 13. They gave up 620 yards and lost by 30. You know, they played in the 2015 opener, and Bell was suspended. Martavis Bryant was suspended. They played last year in the regular season. Ben was hurt. Bryant was out for the whole year with the suspension. They played in the playoffs. Bell goes out in the second quarter with a groin injury. I mean, they are at as full strength as they can possibly be. And, you know, I think it's going to take all three of them to kind of figure out the Patriots. But this is, I mean, you know, there are no excuses left. I mean, it's interesting to me that the Patriots have kind of treated this like another week. And the Steelers, from Mike Tomlin on down, are kind of treating this like a Super Bowl. They really, really are. And it's, to me, I think the Steelers have a lot more to lose in this game than the Patriots do. And I'd say it's almost troubling if I was a Steeler fan.
Will Graves covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Associated Press. I give you Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. You can't have one of them in your Super Bowl run. Which one leaves you most likely to hold up that Lombardi trophy? You have to remove one.
Oh, man.
It doesn't even seem like it works, right?
Probably Le'Veon Bell. I mean, which sounds insane. He leads the league in rushing and in touches and, you know, has been every bit the best back in the league, which he says he is, and is going to make a lot of money when he hits when he gets to March again. But I just think James Conner, their rookie, he's got some talent. I watched him play at Pitt. He's not Le'Veon, but he can do some Le'Veon things. And I will say this, Roethlisberger, when they beat the Ravens last week, Roethlisberger threw it 66 times.
Man.
And wasn't picked off. And he got a lot of guys involved, including Bell, who I think at least Le'Veon had 10 or 11 catches in that game. And James Conner can't do that, but, you know, I think the drop-off, if you're talking about the drop-off in the offense, by if you subtract one, I think it's the smallest if you take Le'Veon Bell out.
Okay.
Well, I'm curious about the stretch they're on. Obviously, they're playing – winning football, winning all these games, but I think six in this win streak have been by 6 points or less. So the important thing is they're winning, but should we have some caution about this, that they're not – I mean, they're always in a close game and they find a way to win, that's great, but are they covering up some things or you feel still pretty good about them?
It's weird. Like, they've seesawed. You know, I think early in the year the defense was sort of carrying them. I mean, there was – you know, like 2 or 3 years ago, offensive coordinator Todd Haley came out and said something like, you know, or actually Roethlisberger put words in Todd Haley's mouth and said, well, something to the effect of, well, Todd thinks we should be averaging 30 points a game. Well, they had gone a stretch up through week 7 or 8 this year where they were one of 5 teams that hadn't scored 30, and like the group included the Browns and the 49ers. The defense was really sort of carrying them. Now the offense, it's sort of flipped the last few weeks. The offense is averaging, 33.5 points, I think, in the last 4 games, which has overcome the fact that the defense has sort of been susceptible to big plays. So, I mean, I don't think that they're frauds. I think, you know, because they are a very good team, but they certainly have an ability to put themselves in tight spots. But they've also shown an ability to sort of overcome them. And they can really, like, get in the team's head. I mean, look what they did to the Bengals. And Bengals lost that game up 17-0. You know, Steelers lose Ryan Shazier. A very emotional and devastating loss. I think the team's still sort of recuperating. They rally and win that game. How do they win that game? They're down 11 in the fourth quarter at home. They get within 2, and then the Ravens go right back down the field, and you think, okay, the game's over now, and they still find a way to win. I would rather, you know, they're kind of need that resiliency going forward. So I think that's almost, in a way, if you're playing the long game here, it's better to sort of know you have that resiliency than just be that team that crushes people, and then when you get in a tight spot, you're not sure how you're going to react.
Well, who you got this weekend?
The Steelers are out of excuses. I think if they cannot beat the Patriots this weekend, they are never going to beat the Patriots. Because I don't think anybody in that locker room thinks that they can go into Foxborough in January and win. Yeah. So, like I said, because I think there's more at stake for the Steelers, and because the offense has figured it out, and the Patriots defense can be susceptible, I think the Steelers will find a way to win. I think it'll be tight. 30-27, somewhere in that range.
And what's amazing is if that happens, they might have to do it again, but beat them in, I guess it'd be at least in Pittsburgh if they meet again later.
Right, but that's the irony in this whole thing. Like, this game almost doesn't matter if they play again in January. I mean, it just doesn't. It will have no bearing on what's going to happen then. And if they lose, you know, if the Steelers win on Sunday and then lose to the Patriots in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's interesting in Pittsburgh here, obviously the hockey team, the Penguins, two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. They have Sidney Crosby, whatever. The Capitals have sort of, the Washington Capitals have been their longtime rivals. And what happens is in the regular season, the Caps will have a couple good games against them. And then the playoffs come and the Penguins just take their heart out and crush it right in front of them. And I think that's sort of a similar way with the Patriots and the Steelers. The Patriots are that team. The Patriots are the team that takes the heart out of the Steelers. So that, all that being said, I think they would like their chances at home, because I think that's what the Steelers, they need, that game needs to be at home, so they need to win this game, and that's why I like.
Before we let you go, do you have an update on Ryan Shazier?
I don't. Look, the team has been very guarded. It's the family's wishes. I can say this. I would not expect to see Ryan Shazier on a football field with a helmet on again. I'm not, and that's me. Look, I want to make sure I don't have real inside information. I mean, I do have a little bit. That would just be, but this is me speculating. I'm not breaking news here in Sacramento.
Yeah,
but that's just me. I just would be very stunned if you ever saw him on a football field again.
I'm fine with that. I'm sure he's not. I am. I feel like the press releases have been very vague. Like, is he walking?
Oh no!
Is he walking? Is he moving?
There hasn't. Look, they have. My understanding was, In the first couple of days, he did have some feeling and some movement in his lower bodies, but some is, I mean, that's such a vague term, you know, that being said, you know, it's weird after the game, you know, the team FaceTimed with him after the Ravens game on Sunday night. Somebody was Snapchatting, Shazier, Ryan talking to his teammates on the phone, and he's sitting in a chair and it's a little bit of an awkward position. And like it's the reporter I was sitting next to in the press box, this is what, at 1 o'clock in the morning, we're trying to write. And I'm like, it's like the Zapruder film. I mean, we're trying to, trying to break it down. And I hate it. Look, I don't want to speculate. And what sucks is, look, this is as outstanding as a young guy, period. I'm not just a football player, but just everything that you would want, sort of the guy that you view as the face of your franchise, the face of your defense for the next 10 years. I mean, he is everything you would want a professional football player, and just a very decent human being. I mean, he's a young father, he's planning to get married, and it just, I think everybody, you know, it would be, if he walks again, if there's confirmed, like, hey, he's definitely, like, if there's video of, I think everybody would be so happy with that, they just would not care if he played football.
Right, exactly.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly. Great stuff as always, Will. Enjoy the game this weekend, my friend.
All right, no problem, guys.
Thank you. All right, that is Will Graves, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Associated Press.